From NPR News, this is All Things Considered. I'm Michelle Norris. And from the Justice Department comes this word, teen crime is dropping. A study indicates teenagers are committing half as many violent crimes as they were a decade ago. People involved in preventing teen crime all agree that things have gotten a lot better, but they don't agree on why. To hear some of the reasons people have to offer, NPR's Laura Sullivan went to Baltimore. It used to be listed as one of the nation's most violent cities for teenagers.
To understand how much less teen violence there is in Baltimore, Maryland, you have to understand what it was like 10 years ago. In the 1990s, more than 100 teens were killed each year. More than that went to prison for murder and assault. Most were in what's called the game, drug dealing. One of them was Riyadh Johnson. His friend called him Stick.
Oh, I had over $500,000 cash in my house. I was 17 years old. I had a Crown Victoria. I had a Benz 600 V12 93. I had two motorcycles. And I had $100,000 worth of drugs.
Johnson was a drug dealer. In the 1990s, he carried guns. He fought turf battles. He watched his friends die or go to prison.
All of them. I'm the only one. Everybody else dead in jail, like, I say 15 of them dead. 7 of them doing life sentence. Never see the streets again.
His life then was the very picture of teen crime. Today, he's trying to prevent it. Riyadh Johnson teaches woodworking for a program called Fresh Start. It's the same program he went to 6 years ago, and it changed his life. It operates out of an old boathouse on the water. Sawdust is everywhere. On this day, he's showing an 18-year-old from his old neighborhood how to cut wood so they can make a chair.
Don't worry about it. Just keep your pencil up. Always keep your pencil straight up, flat up against it. Yeah, just like that. Perfect.
Stephanie Regan runs Fresh Start. She believes programs like this have cut teen violence, but she thinks there may be other reasons, too.
The youth that I'm meeting are more interested in getting ahead, not just existing. Maybe it's a whole shift in thought where they used to be students didn't see themselves living past the age of 18.
It seems like everybody has a theory behind the drop in teen crime. People who study crime say it's economics, demographics, better policing, harsher sentencing, a more stable drug market. Some think faith-based programs lower the crime rate. Others credit federal grants and public service announcements. One theory says there are simply fewer teens. That's not even true. Riyadh Johnson's path over the past 10 years from drug dealing to woodworking follows the national trend. He says he quit dealing because he was exhausted.
I couldn't handle it. It's frustrating, you know. You have to worry about my own homeboys that I grew up with putting hits out on me, a hit me, and somebody putting money over your head to kill you, you know, all because they can't make no money. People telling on me. People calling the police on me saying that I'm shooting people and stuff like that. People I grew up with my whole life.
Back in 1995, there were 87 juveniles charged with murder in Baltimore. Last year, there were 19. Police officials say that's partly because they've cracked down on curfews.
Baker 11.
We just crossed the border into the Northeast. 25th Street was a border. This is actually now the Northeast District.
Victor Comegna is driving through a rundown neighborhood in Northeast Baltimore, past chain link fences and boarded up buildings. Comegna's a police officer, and he's looking for the culprits who've been robbing taxi drivers. His gut tells him they're teenagers.
Just a general feeling I get out of it. And a general description of what the kids are wearing, long white t-shirts, baggy jeans, do-rag on the head. I don't see too many adults that run around here in that kind of garb.
Comegna says the new curfew policy gives him an edge. He can pick up teens he sees on the street late at night or during school hours. And he can detain them downtown or question them about a crime, like taxi driver robberies.
If I have juveniles hanging out at a sub shop at 9:30 in the morning before they go to school, it's my responsibility and it's my supervisor's responsibility to make sure I take care of that.
But for people who work with at-risk teens, none of the policing strategies, job training programs, or drug awareness makes any difference if there isn't one person who cares specifically for each kid.
There's one thing, and that's a caring adult.
Carrie Owings has been the director of the Westside Youth Opportunity Center since 2002. The center is in an old brick building on a block of burnt-out row houses. The neighborhood is filled with drug addicts. Most of the teens here have one or no parents. Some live couch to couch. Most don't go to school. Owings hands out clothes and food if a teenager's caregiver gets arrested or doesn't come home.
What's up, man? How you doing? Good.
Owings walks down a dark cement hallway lit by fluorescent bulbs. He swings a huge pile of keys dangling from a rope. He seems to know every teenager's name and story.
Hey, Tyrone. Who's the little one?
Owings has been working with teens for 20 years. He says what they really need is individual attention and rules. His are painted on the wall.
No guns, no knives, no profanity. All raps must be nonviolent, nothing of a sexual nature. No gang signs and no threats.
This kind of approach is time-consuming and complex. Volunteers are hard to find, donations are scarce, and at some point, only so many teens can be looked after. Owings says many kids who come to the center will still wind up in prison, but some of them find a different life.
I come here maybe every day. I just try to step ahead where I know it's positive forces, that positive people around me, so I just try to stay around this environment.
21-year-old Robert Green is sitting in the hallway on an old yellow couch. Green started coming here when he was 16. He had just been arrested in a drug raid. He hoped the center would keep him out of jail. It was just a ploy to get him back to dealing drugs.
I had no problem with shooting at nobody. I've seen a lot of my friends die. Like, I used to sell drugs. I ain't had no problem with beefing or shooting at nobody or getting shot. I had no problems like that.
But after a few months, he became close to Director Owings. He's come almost every day since then. He hasn't been in trouble in years. Now he's about to take the last section of the GED.
The focus that people are putting into me, I'm thinking like, ain't no point in me going back out there and getting in trouble while I got people right here that care for me, so.
That message is something Owings wants all the teens in this center to hear. And it's something his staff supports as well.
Let's go. 5, 2, 3.
Down in the basement, a dozen young guys are waiting for their turn on old secondhand workout equipment. Roland Stokes grew up in Baltimore, and he comes here twice a week to be the workout coach.
12, good morning.
Standing in the middle of the room, Stokes turns away from the guys so they can't hear him talking. He says from his perspective, helping troubled teens is simple.
They need someone they can count on, someone that's not going to let them down. That means the world to me. I'll be here. No matter what. However it takes, I gotta get here, I get here.
So far this year, teen crime in Baltimore is continuing to fall. There have been even fewer teens charged with murder and fewer teen victims of murder than last year. If that trend continues here and throughout the country, it may not matter which theory is working, just that something is. Laura Sullivan, NPR News.